For CJLO News, I'm Julia Silva. On Friday, March 7, the oldest Canadian retailer, Hudson's Bay, filed for creditor protection to avoid bankruptcy. According to the company, they are facing significant pressures from reduced consumer spending, the trade tensions with the U.S., and declines in foot traffic in downtown stores. In the months leading up to this decision, the regression had become noticeable in its department stores. Different locations have changed up the mix of products, and some brands like Pusateri's Fine Foods and Nescafe started pulling out from their stores. During its filing to the Ontario Superior Court of Justice, the Bay said it was exploring strategies to strengthen the business and was committed to preserving jobs where possible. Montreal's Public Consultation Office released a report calling the 2050 Urban and Mobility Plan ambitious but incomplete. The report criticized the lack of specific measures on the proposed actions for mobilization and targets for transit and housing. It also called out the lack of information about funding that potentially harms the project's credibility. The plan's objectives include over 300 kilometers of new public transit infrastructure, over 400 kilometers of new bike paths, and the annual construction of 12,000 housing units within a 10-year period. The aim is to achieve everything by 2050. The plant administration presented the 25-year plan in June 2024. This was the first update on Montreal's urban plan in 20 years. On March 11, former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte was arrested on the accusation of crimes against humanity by the International Criminal Court. Roughly 30,000 were killed in the Philippines between 2016 and 2022 under Duterte's war on drugs. The ICC first took notice of the extrajudicial killings tied to the drug war back in 2016. Duterte repeatedly denied this accusation but admitted to ordering the police to shoot drug suspects that resisted arrest. As of Tuesday night, Duterte's lawyer said the former president was on a plane to The Hague where he will be facing charges issued by the ICC. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live, Candid Combat, for the first inaugural episode. It's exciting stuff. You'll notice this is the 2 to 3 p.m. slot. You notice that. For the rest of eternity, we will be at the 1 to 2 p.m. slot, but today, just a special occasion, we're at the 2 to 3 p.m. slot. You can listen to CJLO 1690 from 2 to 3 p.m. in the future, but you won't be hearing from me. That's at 1 to 2 p.m. Just a reminder, another reminder, we got an Instagram account, ladies and gentlemen. You asked, we answered. So go follow us on Instagram, at Candid Combat on Instagram. We're about to break 100 followers. Why not? You know? Let's do it. Why not do that? So we're almost at 100. I want to get to about a million. So let's let's start that campaign. And make that happen. Candid Combat. Combat spelled C-O-N-B-A-T. Because my name's Connor. So it's Combat. That's really funny. Everyone said so. So we're going to run that. Today, I got two guests with me in studio. Yeah, it won't just be me having a schizophrenic meltdown on air like I have the past two episodes. It's been just me in a booth hearing my voice reverberate back to me through headphones. Today, we have other voices with me. Which is pretty exciting. I have my two younger brothers in the studio with me today. I've got Ethan Rooney and Owen Rooney. Bryce Rooney is here, but he is not permitted to speak. So he's sitting on the couch. He doesn't get a mic. But the other two are here. Ethan Rooney, Owen Rooney. Ethan, introduce yourself, and then we'll do Owen.
Well, I guess, you know, how's it going? It's good to be here. Flat for real.
Let's hear about some of your accomplishments.
Well, I've competed in multiple nationals wrestling-wise. Last year, I got a bronze medal at the U17 71 kilo weight class. And for The cadet nationals, I got sixth place.
Very nice. Also, the provincial champion this year, just a few weeks ago, right? Don't forget about that. Owen Rooney with us here, the youngest brother here with us today. Let's hear, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, yeah, first off, thanks for having me, Connor.
You're welcome.
And, so last year at the Cadet Nationals, I placed fifth, which most people didn't expect me to do because I didn't show up to practice that often.
Well, you almost died, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That's it. You're forgetting that detail. Yeah. I almost died earlier in the year and then placed fifth.
Indeed.
At the Canadian Nationals. So you weren't missing practice to eat potato chips on the couch slide. You were dying in the hospital. But, I mean, you tell the people what they want. I don't know. It's up to you, dude.
Yeah.
You tell them what they want. So that's who we have in the studio here today. Two nationally ranked wrestlers. They're in Sec 5 Loyola High School. They both just won their GMAA title, both gold medalists. So that was pretty impressive stuff. And we're going to get to talking to them. But let's talk, before we get into wrestling, let's talk about UFC 315. It was, I mean, if you were able to stay awake long enough to watch it, it was a bit of a snooze fest, in my opinion. Yeah. Everyone calm down. It was a snooze fest, okay? But here's, we had Alex Pereira lose to Ankalaev, and then we had Justin Gaethje defeat Fitzayev. Let's go over that. So, Alex Pereira lost to Ankalaev via hug, is what I've been told. And that's what I saw in the fight. Do we have any thoughts on the hugging scandals?
I mean, me personally, I've heard that a lot too. But having watched the fight, I'm going to say I think that's complete and utter lies. Everybody's talking. Everybody brings up that fourth round. Ankalaev, I think he realized he was winning that fight by the time the fourth round came. He was tired and he was just like, I can just coast these next two rounds. And that's when the hugging started. But people don't bring up the first three rounds when he honestly was winning that fight. I think he won all three of those rounds. I mean, if you look at the stats, Pereira didn't land a head strike in the first round. Not a single head strike.
Let's talk about stats. The only takedown in that fight was by who?
Ankalaev.
Pereira.
Thank you.
Oh my.
Thank you. Yeah, you didn't know that. You're just running your mouth in the studio. Ankalaev got taken down by Pereira via foot sweep.
Oh, that was in the last second. Are you serious?
It's a foot sweep.
I don't even count. He didn't even get on top of him. He just fell. He tripped him in the last three seconds.
He just stood above him.
Are you serious?
Just stood above him.
That is
straight faced.
That was the worst takedown I've ever seen in my life.
That's not true. Diddy P against Israel Adesanya. Worst takedown in history.
All right, okay, I'll see that. But he didn't. What do you do after the takedown? Just look at him?
Just looked him in his soul through the window gates that are his eyes.
And then lost.
Yeah, effectively, that is what happened.
But in the last two rounds, Ankalaev did just refuse to fight him. He hugged him against the cage. He wasn't fighting. He was just...
It was cuddle time.
Yeah.
It was some little. There was some cuddling going on.
I would say fourth round, definitely I was disappointed in Ankalaev. I thought he was like, all right. He made his promise that he would start, you know, striking. He would stay on the feet. And then he started hugging him. So I was like, all right, you know, you're kind of lying to me right now. But fifth round, there was not maybe a minute control time. I'm not sure. Maybe two.
A minute's a really long time.
Thank you. Thank you. And we can I will cut your mic for 1 minute just to show you how long a minute is. I'll do it. So here's the deal. I think it makes wrestling look bad when this kind of thing happens. That's why it frustrates me. I love wrestling. I love the sport of wrestling. But when you get guys in the UFC just hug the entire round, people get upset and they blame the sport of wrestling itself. They say, oh, wrestling's boring. They just want to see kickboxing in the UFC. But that's just not the case. You look at some of the most exciting grapplers. You've got Demetrius Johnson. Mm-hmm. You've got Khabib is the best example. He didn't have a lot of knockouts, but he would just maul people on the ground. There was no cuddling. There was zero cuddling with Khabib. And now what we're seeing a lot is the wrestlers have figured out they can just kind of grab guys, hold them against the cage or on the ground, and just snuggle in. You know? Little cuddle sesh. I'm past that. I want to go back to when grapplers were throwing people up in the air, you know, actively searching for submissions or just ground and pounding, you know, instead of this cuddling. So tell us why you love Ankalaev so much for doing that.
Wow. Okay. Number one, he was striking and he had zero takedowns. I don't even think he attempted a takedown. He was, you know what, which is honestly kind of bad. I'm now
realizing that.
But still, he was striking I don't even think he attempted or hugged him in the first three rounds. So if this was a three-round fight, everybody would have been like...
It wasn't a three-round fight.
Hmm?
It's not a three-round fight.
Yeah, I understand.
So we're talking hypotheticals here.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is he beat him on the feet, and once he realized he was winning and there was the only way he would lose is by knockout, he hugged him, and which is a smart move. If you really think about it, if you're in the situation, if you're in that situation, what are you going to do? You're winning, you're beating a guy who's known to have crazy knockout power, who's knocked out the last, like, I don't know, four or five opponents in like the first two rounds, and you're, oh no, except for Roundtree, but he's knocking them all out, and he doesn't want that Roundtree fourth round knockout thing to happen again, like it did with Roundtree. So he's thinking, I'm going to coast.
Here's what I'm thinking. Would you, in a match that you're winning, coast the rest of the fight? Or would you go for the tech?
I would go for the tech.
Obviously. I would coast.
Oh.
So this is what we're talking about here.
Interesting.
So wait, why would
we're
you coast?
Both hypocrites. That's what we've just discovered.
I think we've just discovered
we
that.
We have
yes.
done that.
Why would you coast? Why not just end the fight?
Hey, man, I'll cut your mic. don't talk to me like that. I don't appreciate that.
If you're up 8 points, why not just get another two?
Bad things can happen. Yeah. Bad things can happen in a fight on any given Sunday. Depends how much time's left, if I'm being real, and how bad the person is. If he's trash, yeah. But, like, if this is a close match, I've gotten up, you know, 30 seconds left. Let me just...
Yeah, okay.
Let me just cuddle in for a second. Let's get a little closer.
Comfortable.
Interesting.
Let's talk about who's next for the division. Where's Pereira going? Who does Ankalaev fight next? Is the rematch? What's going on?
Well, I think I heard it best from Chael Sonnen. I'm not even going to lie. When we saw this exact situation happen to Pereira, when he lost the title to Israel Adesanya, where did he go?
He went up to light heavyweight.
Yeah, he did. He went up a division. And there have been in the talks of him going up to heavyweight. So there might be a situation now where the opening to go to heavyweight, that might be open right now.
John Jones.
What did you just say to me?
That is
what did you just say to me?
John Jones.
He's retired.
Number one.
Who's John's going to fight? He can't even fight Aspinall.
John said himself, the only person who he would fight is Alex Pereira.
Sir, check yourself into a psychiatric clinic now. That's insanity. You're insane. You know that? John Jones isn't even willing to fight the interim champ. He's going to surpass that to fight Alex Pereira.
He said it himself.
Well, after a loss at light heavyweight, he's now just going to fight for the heavyweight title?
Straight to the title. And when Aspinall's just been killing people, you know? And John refuses to fight him. And there's all these announcements saying that John is going to fight Aspinall in the summer. International Fight Week, potentially. You know who else was supposed to fight on International Fight Week last year? Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. What happened there? So I'm sick of the lies. I'm tired of the lying. You seem to think it'll happen. Pereira versus John. Who do you think wins that fight, Owen?
John Jones.
John, why?
Because Dana White says so.
Yes.
You know, that is a good point.
Either about you, Pereira or Jones?
I'm going to say I'm also going to agree with Jones, but just because they're actually surprisingly the same age, so there's no age argument with John Jones. John Jones has way more experience, and he's crazy no matter what he does. He's a good striker. He's a good grappler. And honestly, he could just...
He's really good at taking steroids.
That
as
too.
As well.
That is
one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best. So, we've all these advantages. Better at Pereira than taking steroids, no doubt.
Oh, way better.
Like, he's one of the greats for that.
He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT at taking steroids. Oh, Brock Lesnar.
Good point. Good point. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to interrupt everybody for a little second. We got an ad break we've got planned here. We're going to go to a short little ad break, and we'll be back to you in just a few moments. Please stick with us.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artists. More info on Cité d'Or.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You've already pretended to be a Costigan from South Boston.
Every weekend, Sergeant.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. Now, evidently, my cycloptic colleague informs me that that can't be done. Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here. What do we have?
CJLO.
Right. Are they ill-tempered?
Absolutely.
That's a start.
Welcome back to CJLO 1690 for Candid Combat. I'm your host, Connor Rooney. I have with me in the studio my two nationally ranked wrestler brothers here, Ethan Rooney and Owen Rooney, respectively, talking about the UFC right now. We're going to briefly talk a bit more before we get into some wrestling. So one thing I do want to talk about, because I have with me in studio right now, brain rot historian Ethan Rooney, been there since the beginning, has been tracking it for years, and he puts in the work, hours a day, filing. He's a historian. So we're going to talk a bit about Aura. Okay?
Okay.
I'd like your thoughts on Alex Pereira's Aura. I felt, personally, going in that walkout, and when he got with the arrow, and when he got in the arena and did the stare down, usually he's aura maxing.
Yeah, for real.
Usually aura maxing.
Yeah.
He did it against Yuri. He did it against Roundtree. He's done it against all these guys where he mogs them effectively before the fight. He wins every stare down in beautiful fashion. Yeah. But I thought he lost the stare down against Ankalaev, and he didn't do anything new. I just sensed a lack of aura. I don't know how to explain it. Ankalaev is just walking back and forth, looking all loose. Pereira's doing as usual, just standing there staring straight. But there was something off. It didn't feel the same. Can you talk to me a bit about this aura deficit?
I just think, me personally, I think he saw that Ankalaev just wasn't scared of him. Ankalaev had been training. Also, Pereira might not have been, you know, taking everything too seriously. Ankalaev was talking about he was training in the mountains while Pereira was out partying. I think maybe the fame could have gotten him too much. I mean, he's come from humble beginnings, but now he's, you know, come into a lot of money recently, I would imagine. And he's destroying everybody, so maybe he's like thinking, oh, I don't need to train so hard because I'm beating all these guys up easily. And now I can just go ahead and beat them as well.
Mm-hmm. I see. So yeah, that's a little brain rot segment for today. We talked about Alex Pereira's aura loss with brain rot historian Ethan Rooney. Moving on, let's quickly talk about Gaethje Fitzaev. It was, I thought, a victory via skill diff. I thought Gaethje was just better.
Yeah.
At just about everything. There wasn't, like, they were both great. They were both throwing. No one got knocked out, sadly, because Dan Hooker... God, Dan, where were you? I'm so heartbroken. I wanted to see Dan Hooker and Justin Gaethje kill each other. You know, someone was going to die.
You know, that was the beauty of that. No one died versus Gaethje versus Fetsayev. No casualties in the octagon. Not a lot of blood. So, Dan Hooker, please come back. Please, I'm begging you. Because, yeah, it was an all right fight. That was I thought it was all right. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I just thought it was okay. Yeah.
I mean, I liked it a lot. I thought they were going at it, and I think Vitsaev tried like one or two takedowns. First one, Gaethje had a beautiful Granby roll out of it. Second one, I think Vitsaev knew he was doing that stupid Granby roll and caught him, but they were only on the ground for like not too long, and they mostly kept it on the feet, which is entertaining. And yeah, I felt like they were just going at it. First round, you know, they were warming up a little, feeling, you know, each other out. And then second, third round, they were trying to kill each other, basically, I felt.
Well, I think they call him the highlight for a reason.
Oh!
Yeah, he was going for stuff.
I just think that's why they call him the highlight.
That's why they call him the highlight.
That's why you think, because he's just a highlight. He does highlight reels.
He does, yeah, he's... Yeah.
What was the highlight reel?
Oh, no.
Name, no, it was the highlight.
Yeah.
In this fight, probably the Granby roll. Nothing much.
It's just the Granby roll. Escape was the highlight. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had some like, kind of...
They tagged each other.
Yeah, they had situations where they were both, like, it kind of seemed like they didn't care if they were getting knocked out, but they wanted to knock the other guy out, so that it was just haymakers, and then they would disengage.
Didn't Gaethje knock him down at one point?
Oh, yeah.
There was that. That was the big moment.
That was
Look
good.
Look at you. Didn't remember the big knockdown. Remember the Granby roll?
I was just
because he said it. That's why you said that. It's because he said it. Did you watch the fight?
Yeah, I was there.
You were there. Mm-hmm. Okay, buddy.
Watching it on
there
TV.
Was a huge... That's why they call him the highlight. Now you can say it.
That's why they call him the highlight.
Yes!
That was just said.
We're clip farming, actually. That was a clip farm. That was brilliant.
I remember his highlight from his last fight. Taking a nap on the canvas.
Okay. That's unnecessary slander.
I mean,
there.
He creates highlights.
On one end or the other, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's move on from that for a second. Last thing UFC I have to talk about is, do you guys think King Green is still alive? I'm just curious.
Nope.
What's the
No, he's gone. He's been gone. I mean, he went to sleep against Paddy the Batty. He woke up and then went to his grave after that fight. Oh, my God.
So for those who don't know, at UFC 313, King Green, he legally changed his first name to King from Bobby. King Green got I mean, kings get killed a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty accurate that he changes his name and then is publicly executed in front of millions of people. He took what I believe was a heel kick straight to his cranium, and then he just exited life and fell face first onto the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if we ever got word on that.
I haven't heard from him.
Someone, please text us in the Instagram if King Green is okay. Very concerned. We'd like to know if King Green survived the heel kick to the dome. Please let us know. So let's move on from the UFC. A little bit. We'll get back to it later to talk about when it comes to Montreal, UFC 313. But for now, let's get on because you're both very high-level wrestlers in Montreal. So let's get into that. You guys have the Canada Games coming up, I believe. That's in Newfoundland this year. When are the trials for that?
They've been moving it around.
Yeah, it was supposed to be somewhere in May.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the national qualifiers, but from what I've heard, some of the athletes are trying to not only qualify for wrestling but judo, which would be at the same time. So now they're trying to figure out what's going on. Like, do they move the wrestling another day, judo? Do they move it by one day a week? Like, what's going on that? So it's kind of like we're not 100% sure, but we know it should be in May.
Should be in May, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned. I'll be giving a more in-depth update when we get some official dates on that. What weight do you think you're going to be at, and do you think you have a good chance of qualifying?
I guess I'll start it off. For me, I'm trying to go for the 77-kilo weight class, you know. I think I have a fantastic chance of making it. I'm
so humble.
Wow. Well, you know, okay, let's look at the stats. In Quebec, I'm undefeated for the past two years.
Because I'm not in your division.
You're too.
I'm not in your division.
Maybe you're a little old for me there, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'm just saying. You're not in my division
for
a reason.
Well, I just wanted the viewers at home need to know that I'm not in your division because they might get the wrong idea. We can't All right. have that. So continue, sir.
I mean, I was in Quebec. I was at my age category, one of the highest ranked in Canada, and that's across all the weight classes. I fought all my known competitors. I fought them, and most of them I've beat within the first minute. I think one guy maybe lasted to a minute 30. Maybe. I'm not even sure. If I want them to last to the second round, okay. Then they'll get to the second round.
If I want them to last. Okay, buddy, okay.
You know, I have a different approach to this. I'm not going to take anyone for granted, and I'm going to pound.
What? That was the craziest switch-up I've ever heard. You're going to pound
them? I'm going to be humble, but I'm going to kill all of them. All right.
I'm going to go at them like they've never gone, I don't know.
You don't know?
Are you sure? Because I've seen you wrestle, and the first round, it seems like you don't know what you're doing. It kind of, you're like,
let's keep it friendly.
I'm just saying, usually Owen's like, oh, Owen, you're losing. And he'll be like, don't worry, coach, I got this. And then
feeling out process.
Proceeds to just destroy the person in the second round as if a new person has stepped onto the mat in the second round.
He gets fired up.
Yeah, it's mind games.
It's all part of the plan. False sense of security. So, okay. And the Canada Games are in Newfoundland. Say you qualify. How do you feel about your chances now against the rest of the provinces once you start representing Team Quebec? We'll start with Owen.
Ooh, that's a good question. I know this year I've lost to someone from Saskatchewan, but I've beaten all the Atlantic provinces and Ontario.
That's pretty good. You know, some good guys from all over the country. You can't, especially at that age, right? A certain age, it doesn't really matter where they're from. It's more later as they get older that they start to go to the more premier clubs. I like your approach of don't take anyone for granted because that's how upsets happen.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen it. We've seen some pretty good guys lose to guys that are below their caliber. And they have Ethan's attitude is what it is.
All right.
Attitude. And Owen's pound attitude is a bit different, effectively.
Just, that's all you got to think about. You got to go after them, you got to pound them.
Okay, all right. I think we're getting off subject, Owen.
Yeah, okay, Ethan, your chances, do you think, nationally speaking, at the Canada Games?
I think for me, it's a little unpredictable. Because for me, at 77, for Canada Games, nationals, there's 71 and 80. And then it goes 92. But for Canada Games, there's 70, 77, and 85. So there's a pool of people who I can't really tell what weight class they're going. And the competition's August, so people are going to probably get a little bigger by that time, maybe gain a couple pounds. Maybe people don't want to make a weight cut. Maybe people want to make a crazy weight cut. Because I know the only guy who I've lost to this season so far who is... You know, who could be, he's definitely a contention for Canada Games. I know he has to cut for 80. I'm not sure if he can even get to 77. If it's a smart idea for him to go 85, like, we don't know. Maybe there's a guy who was fighting 71 who made some heavy weight cuts and has realized, I can't really make those weight cuts anymore. I'm going to go up to 77. He's quite talented. And then, obviously, there's always the wild card, BC. I mean, coming from Quebec, I mean, I usually fight guys from BC only in at nationals, and they're quite talented out there. I'll say that.
You've gotten fat.
Excuse me.
We're talking about weight. I've known that you've gained a lot of weight recently.
Yeah, but not in a bad way.
What's bad about being fat?
There's nothing.
Got him.
You know what? There's.
This is your last show ever, buddy. You're done. You're done in show business.
What's wrong with being fat?
Owen, please, you don't have to get involved.
All right,
there's one, two, and three.
Oh no.
I'm not fat personally. I'm just gaining weight because I'm putting on muscle because I train a lot. And that's about it. I go up a weight category every year consistently. That's
so
just,
what, bro? I'm so jacked.
Just getting bigger.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
And I'm not, I mean, you'll see, if you think me just going up one weight class, there's some people going up 2-3 weight
classes. Let me plug your bench for the Huzz real quick. What are you benching right now?
For one, I could probably like do 210, but then for like five, it's probably 185 or 195.
And you are single right now.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I guess you could say that.
And you can bench 210 for one.
Yes.
Okay. Owen.
I'd rather not.
Owen doesn't, you don't want to embarrass.
You know what? If I had to guess my one rep maximum.
What, 315? Is that your one rep max? 315? That's your warm up. Oh, sorry, I forgot that was your warm up.
Probably 165 or 160, mm-hmm. One rep maximum.
That's pretty hype. How much do you weigh?
71 kilo or 160.
So, but your body weight.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Body weight's pretty good, you know, especially for an endurance athlete, mm-hmm. You know? So, you know what? Shout out the Huzz. Ethan
Okay, okay.
Have a look. Their Instagrams.
I never give you permission to use my Instagram.
I'll cut your mic right now. I'll cut your mic right now. You know what? Fine. No Instagram plug for you. Let's move on to some stories about you guys I want to talk about. First, I want to start with Ethan. This is a great story. We're going to talk about Nationals last year, right? You lose your first match. You got teched 10-0. And you got clipped. Like, you guys can look this up. I forget what the guy said.
Yeah, this is actually a great story. You're doing so good on this fantastic story. Please, no, actually, continue, actually.
I will. I'm going to cut your mic. You keep interrupting me. Here's the deal. So you got clipped. Right. That video's got a lot of views, you know. But what the video fails to capture is more you getting thrown around than your beautiful story that comes out of that.
Number one. All right. I wasn't thrown around, number one.
I mean, go check the clip.
I wasn't thrown around.
No.
The first time I was reversed. And then I got gut wrenched. And then I did the most stupidest move that I've never done in my life and fell right on my... I slowly fell on my back, so I wasn't even thrown.
So it was slow.
Enough of you. That's enough
of
you.
Slow motion.
But I guess we can dive deep into the story. So a little... Just a little background. I was quite heavy for that weight class. And, I mean, I had to cut, I think, between 10 to 15 pounds just to make weight. And they give us a day to like kind of regain your weight after weigh-ins. And I remember in that meal, I gained 10 pounds in that meal. So I was, you could say I was a little tired, but that day was honestly horrible for me. Because you're not pulling up the clip right now, are you? You better put that clip away.
Pull up the clip.
Put the clip away right now.
Oh, and where can I find the clip? Send me the clip. I need the clip, dude.
We're not taking this clip out.
Anyway, you look for that, Ethan. Keep telling.
Well, this was the competition I got bronze medal at the Nationals. First place guy I fight right off the bat, and I just wasn't expecting it. You know, I wasn't expecting such a very talented and high level wrestler. I ended up losing, and then I see my road to the bronze medal match was about 7 matches. And for me, that was crazy because usually at a tournament, you'll have 4 to 5 matches. And so I remember going to my second match, I was mad. And I went against a guy who wasn't very good. So I think I beat him in like 30 seconds. And then I'm like, all right, you know, this might not be hard, you know, to get that bronze medal, keep going. And then my second match, I did end up beating him 10-0 in the second round, but I was tired, man. After that day, like multiple times, I was thinking of just giving up, just stopping. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, just got the clip. All right.
We got the clip. What's going on? Oh, get off your back.
I did get off my back, by the way. I was not panicked.
That is a slow motion fall, by the way. That's a good point. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, I mean, after my third match of the day, I was so tired, and I was sitting on the bench, and my coach was like, all right, your match is in a little bit. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. But I kept going. Fourth match, he wasn't as strong as the third match guy, so I got rid of him, and I just kept going, and you were there, and you remember me right before my last match.
Oh, that was crazy.
I was literally, because every match, I'd have like a little break in between, and the whole time I was telling myself, I was like, I have one more match, and then I get to go farther. So if I don't get this next match, I'm done, and I'm gonna hate myself.
And
so.
Let's talk about that for a second, and something our head coach tells us all the time, you got to go one match at a time. Because if you're thinking at the start of the day, I've got seven matches now that I have to go win, that's just not a realistic way to go about it. You got to go one match at a time. That's a good way to... So tell me about... let's talk more about that mentality for a second.
I mean, that's why my third match after that, I was thinking of quitting. Because I was like, I have like, what, four or five matches left? I was like, there's no way I can do this. But then I was like, we're going to have to. So we're going to rephrase this. I was always thinking... You have one last fight. You have one more fight, and then you're done. That's what I was thinking. I would pretend that after that fight, I would be done. And then after that fight, I would think and be like, all you got is one more fight. Every time. And then it got to the point where if I won a fight, I'd actually qualify for like maybe a bronze medal fight or a fifth place medal fight. So then I was like, I can't not place like top ranking. So I have to win that next fight. And that's only what got me through. And then right before my bronze medal match, I was like, I've had seven matches in a row. I've had seven in a row, which is double what I'm used to. I can't just give up now. So right before the fight, I'm warming up. I'm going at it. And I go up to Connor and Owen, who are like there in my corner.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them, I'm not a bag seller. I'm a clutch. I'm not a bag seller. And I'm like hyping myself up. And it turns out that my last match was canceled because the guy who also qualified for that match dislocated his shoulder the match before. So he couldn't wrestle me, but... You know,
so you're not a bag seller.
I did not sell
you
the bag.
You didn't sell it.
And honestly,
not for sale.
I don't think I would have because I had wrestled that guy multiple times. And the past two, three times I had wrestled him, it was all Tex.
Now you were fired up. I remember that. You were. And what's interesting and what we didn't talk that fight before to go to the bronze medal, you won it maybe in the last 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Of the fight. That was like a dramatic finish. That was really the bronze medal match at the end of the day.
Yeah, and actually that guy who I'd fought to go into the bronze medal had fought the guy who was supposed to fight in the bronze medal and already beat him. So
it's a tougher fight.
It was a tougher fight, and I remember in that it was my seventh fight of the day, and I think it was his fourth match of the day. So I had done way more matches than he did. And in that fight, the score was, I think, 4-3. I think I had a push out, a takedown, and I had a reverse and a takedown. And they had a controversial call with one of his takedowns where I felt like I reversed it, but apparently they thought he took me down. And he also had one takedown. And then my coaches are just yelling at me like, you have to go. You have to go. You have 19 seconds left. Just go at him. So I'm just...
Did you go at him?
I was practically running
him?
And
did you pound him? Did you win and pound him? Did you get the pound mentality?
I was just I know he's thinking 19 seconds, all I have to do is stay back. So he's sort of running away from me, but I'm just chasing him, and then I just get that last takedown, last 3 seconds, and I mean I kinda emoted after I got the takedown.
I mean
I did the old like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. He's pumping his fist. Because this is radio, by the way. They can't see you,
well,
but he's pumping his fist.
I'm not going to explain to them.
He pounded.
He pounded.
You know what I mean? That's the pound mentality. So let's brief recap that. Then we're going to talk to Owen for a sec. So you won seven matches straight after losing your first one.
Yeah.
We do have the clip. I can't show it because this is radio, but I do have it now. But seven straight wins. That is, for those who aren't in the fight game, that is a 8 fights in a day, effectively. That's 8 fights in a day.
Yeah. And
most of you don't get into 8 fights in your life.
Honestly.
Most of you don't get into 8 fights in your life. You know, and he did that in one day, won 7 out of the 8. He won more fights than anybody in the building that day. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. So that's why we interview these people. We're going to talk to Owen for a second here, because Owen is a multi-sport athlete. He doesn't do just one. He does them all. He's probably most notable for his track and field. He does the javelin. We're not talking about that.
Secondary.
So he's a... Owen did track and field. But anyway, more importantly, you're a D2 hockey player, a D1 wrestler. Let's talk about the balance. How do you... And you're a writer. We're going to get into that a bit. Owen's a prolific... He was published in grade 6. It was his best work. He hasn't surpassed it since. Grade 6 is where it peaked. But... So you're a multi-athlete. You're a multi-sport athlete.
Yes.
How do you balance the two sports?
You see, the thing with the balancing is that you can't make them both happy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pick your moments of which sport you like the most.
Right. And how do you go about that?
You skip practice.
Is that the secret? Okay. Okay. So right now, which one are you more focused on?
At the moment, it's wrestling. Just what? Because I recently got the silver medal at provincials. Huge disappointment.
So you're fired up.
Yeah, I'm in the pound mentality.
Pound mentality. He's ready. Are you getting ready to pound people?
More than ready my whole life.
Oh, my goodness.
Bring it on.
Watch out. Watch out. So when's your next tournament?
My next tournament is in April, U19 National Championship in Calgary.
Okay, that's right. Let's talk about last year's Nationals real quick, because you forgot. Tell us, you almost died. You were ready to check out. You were like, GG, you know, I've had enough of this. So you're in the hospital.
Yes.
Why are you in the hospital?
Oh, a couple things got entangled in the intestines. And
right, so you just had a little problem there. You go in for emergency surgery, is that correct?
Yeah.
Right. How many months later do you compete after life-saving surgery?
That's a good question.
Yeah, he's got no clue. He has no idea.
Ma, you're in the studio. How many months later?
It was in May, and he had his surgery in February.
Okay, so he had the surgery in February. He competed at the Nationals in May. Was it the same year?
No.
May of a different year. So it was about a year and a few months from rock bottom, basically.
Yeah.
To 5th in Canada. Talk to me about your recovery.
Immediately after the surgery, it was a legitimate workout to take 3 steps. I couldn't even walk to the bathroom. I needed help.
Oh. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. The drugs were nice.
Which drugs were you on?
Morphine.
Would you recommend it?
To everyone listening, yes.
No.
I'm joking.
We do not endorse that.
Yeah. No, it's a joke.
Would you recommend it after a surgery where it would be appropriate to take such a such a drug? Would you then endorse it?
Yes.
Okay, it was good. Tell me about, like, how did it feel, the morphine? I've never been.
Well, you see, you're in intense pain, and it takes it away.
Oh wow!
Is it that? So it's a relief.
Yeah.
Do you feel anything in particular, or is it the numbness that's really nice?
To be honest, you don't even know, like.
You just don't even know.
You don't even know.
You don't even know it's doing anything. You just don't feel pain.
That's okay. So say you're on the morphine, and you're having trouble getting to the bathroom.
Can't even walk.
And then you go from having trouble doing that to getting 5th place at the Nationals. How did that happen? You got to walk me through it.
How did that happen?
Tell me your first day back to training.
Oh, it was I really felt the cardio aspect of it. And I remember someone, I think they didn't realize that I just had surgery. So they, I think they picked me up and they slammed me on the floor.
Oh my God.
What?
And I remember the coaches just yelling at them. Saying he just got back from surgery.
What are you doing? I almost got killed. You first came back. Jeez, that's fun.
Yeah.
And then you picked yourself up, got back to work. What month did you come back?
I think I came back 2 months. I think February. I think end of March.
Okay.
I came back.
You came back at the end of March, so you had about 2 months.
Yeah.
To train for Nationals. When you got to Nationals, did you feel like you were back to your full self, or was there still something missing there?
Well, right after the surgery, I wasn't able to make it to that Nationals.
No, I'm talking...
Oh, the next one.
Yes.
Okay. What was the question?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you're getting one more chance, because then we're going to do this, and then we're going to go to short ad break. When you were at Nationals, how recovered did you feel? Going into the Nationals where you got fifth place, did you feel fully recovered, or did you still feel like you were still recovering a little bit?
I felt fully recovered.
Okay.
But I did feel a little bit behind technique-wise, mm-hmm. but I think in shape and cardio-wise, I was fully there.
Yeah, because you did miss a lot of time.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing in the game, even if your cardio feels good, so, being out of the game. Was it your first tournament back?
It was my second tournament back.
What was the first one?
Matman.
How'd you do with that?
I got fourth place.
Okay. And it just, so, you know, a beautiful recovery story from near death to lovely morphine to the mat. It was a good experience. We're going to go to a short ad break, and then we'll be right back for a bit, and then that'll be all she wrote. So we're going to get that set up. Enjoy this brief ad break. We'll be right back with you in a moment.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sheedy.
And I'm Piper Curtis.
We are the producers of Discordia, a 10-part audio docuseries for CJLO 1690 AM, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada Radio Meters Program.
Tune in on Monday, March 10th at 6 p.m. for the 7th episode of Discordia on the 2023 crew campaign and how they became Concordia's new teaching and research assistant labor union.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema?
Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m.
Only on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Montreal with your hosts Remy
and Danny.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Blank Scoob, we're all out of Scooby snacks.
Zoinks, what are we gonna do now?
B-A-L-O? CJLO, like that super swell, Scoob.
Roby roll.
And we're back in the studio, live. This is Candid Combat, CJLO 1690, inaugural episode with two nationally ranked wrestlers, Ethan Rooney and Owen Rooney. Bryce Rooney is still on the couch, silent, thank God. And I, Connor Rooney, am your host. So right before we get into Wrestle Ball, which we'd like to talk about, Owen, I'm going to get back to you on this because you got back. We've talked about your wrestling coming back from surgery. Let's get, because you're a multi-sport athlete, let's talk about the hockey. Tell me about what you were able to accomplish coming back from that surgery in hockey.
Well, in hockey, a month after the surgery, I decided to get back to hockey. And we were, once I got back, I only made it to the playoffs, and we just kept winning. And we made it all the way to the final, and we won the whole thing.
You won the championship.
We won the championship.
Just right after coming back.
Right after coming back.
That's really something. That's really something.
And, well, this year I had a tournament in Washington.
I'd love to hear about it.
And, wow, what an experience. The Americans faced no chance against us. We smoked every team. Smoked them. I played 5 games, scored 10 points.
I'm getting fired up here. This is patriotic.
It was patriotic.
Tell me about the scuffle that happened in one of those games.
Yeah. So, one guy thought he could mess with the Pound Master.
The Pound Master.
And, I showed him. He was going, I was trying to get away, because, you know, I'm humble.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed him who was dead.
Goodness. Took him to Pound Town.
Yeah.
Bounced his head off the ice like a basketball. Yeah. So now that we're on the topic of Canada, U.S., what are your thoughts on Donald Trump's tariffs? I'm kidding. We're not doing that. It's a sports show. And you wouldn't know. But more. Let's get quickly. We got 9 minutes, 30 seconds left. We're going to talk about wrestle ball, which you both love to play. This is something the wrestling team plays, the Montreal Wrestling Club, where it's basically basketball, but violent, and it's lovely.
It's awesome.
So basically, there's no fouls. Dribbling is sort of as you do it. You got to do it here and there, but there's no strict rule on it. It's not really dribbling. There's no three-point shots. Every bucket counts for one, and score is based on the differential of points. Both of you guys like to play. I'm going to go to Owen first on this. So, Owen, you have a good shot, which makes no sense because you've never played basketball in your life.
Yeah.
And you have a good shot. Why?
To be honest, I just kind of throw it up there and it, and it goes in or it doesn't.
Yeah. Like, Owen has never touched a basketball before. And, oh, by the way, disclaimer, we all are terrible at basketball. We are terrible. We're wrestlers. We're not basketball players. But for the wrestling league, you have a very good shot. And you don't know where it come from. You just chuck it up and in it goes.
Yeah, I guess it's just muscle memory. Well, from what? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that game where you must have dropped at least 30?
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know. I just kept pulling up from, like, half court.
And just pulling up.
And just, it would swish every time.
Every time.
Yeah. And that had to be my first game ever. Yeah.
It was. You used to, I remember you used to purposely go like sabotage and go downstairs because you hated the game so much.
Yeah.
And then the one time we forced you to play, you dropped like 50.
Yeah. It was.
You're blessed with talent, yet you refuse to use it. How would you say you've improved since then?
Improved? Since that game, I haven't scored that many, so I think I'm on a decline, but it has gotten more fun, yeah.
That's good. And now to Ethan. You've played D1 basketball before, so you have a bit of an advantage here. Talk to me about your involvement in the games.
I guess, really, it really depends for me what style I'm going to pick, depending on what the players I'm with, really. Because for every game, you have to pick a strategy. So if I'm with a lot of bigger guys who like to kind of, they're a little rough and they like to stay in the paint because they're big, then I'll probably play more on the perimeter, maybe get some offense going. If we have other offensive like people who can really shoot the ball, maybe drive, maybe I'll play more interior. It really depends who I'm playing with, I would say. It's a completely different game from actual basketball. I mean, it's
because you can grab the biceps if they step into the key. That's an important detail.
Well, honestly, that's the rules. But I don't think I've gone through a game where it's only stopped at just grabbing the arms. I mean, I've seen some.
You know what I mean? You got to win the game.
I've seen some body checking, tripping.
Some people do that.
Some grabbing.
Some people do all that. You know. You but they tend to win a lot, I hear.
It can get pretty rough, and I mean, but it's part of the game, honestly. People complain, but it's like, what are you going to do about it? Like, honestly.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that is,
yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Let's talk about it. Let's do some, because I'm hoping we've got some listeners from the Montreal Wrestling Club. Let's call somebody out right now.
Oh no!
Call somebody out. Who do you want to play against on Friday morning? Tomorrow morning, call somebody out.
Call somebody out.
Call them out.
Right now.
Right, live on the air.
Ooh, okay. I got to think about this. Like somebody I want to play against and like just
destroy. Who are you gonna destroy Friday morning? Call them out live.
All right. I'm gonna say right now, Tristan Sears.
Tristan Sears.
You ain't. I mean, Wednesday, I mean, I felt like, I mean, I kind of, you had some lucky shots, I'm not going to lie. I kind of locked you up. I'm just going to say that. I'm just saying, you better watch out Friday. I mean, we'll see what happens.
We're going to see what happens. What do you predict happens Friday morning, Tristan Sears?
I'm going to dunk on him. That's what I'm going to do. Two-hand jam on his head.
On his head. Okay, Tristan, if you're listening, you can call in to the studio live. Here's what's really funny. I don't know how to use the phone, so I won't pick up. Anyway, moving on to Owen, call somebody out. Friday morning's game. Who are we calling out?
Who are we calling out? Well, I got to pick someone who's like evenly matched.
Or not.
Yeah. Someone pick could be way better than you.
Or worse. Just bully them for no reason, live on the air.
Alessandro.
Alessandro Giordano. I know you're listening. I know you're listening. You've just been called out by another shooter in the game. Oh, and predictions Friday morning against Alessandro Giordano.
I'm putting up 50.
Going back to the rookie game.
Back to the rookie game. Pass me the ball.
In his face, yes or no. In his face, yes or no.
All over his face.
Are you going to pound him?
We're gonna go in with the pound mentality.
He's getting pounded. Oh my goodness. So live on the air, listen up here. Ethan Rooney, Owen Rooney calling out Alessandro Giordano and Tristan Sears live on the air. Friday morning at the Y, 7:30. Be there to witness the smackdown that they are predicting. I'm going to call someone out, I think. I'm going to call someone out.
Okay.
Charlie DeVito. I don't even want... I mean, y'all know what... Wednesday was a massacre. I feel bad calling him out, actually, because it's been so blatant. So I'm going to call out Zar Arsagov instead, because Charlie, bro, it just feels wrong. I feel like I'm kicking a dead dog calling
That's disrespect. Those are some big words.
No, they're not, bro. Come watch the games. I was rebounding, shooting, scoring, you know? All because Charles, man. So shout out Charles for letting me cook on Wednesday. So Friday, I'm going to call out Zar. Zar Arsagov. Let's do it. Me and you. See how much respectful I am with Zar, you know?
Yeah.
But Charlie, you're a bum. I'm not even going to give you airtime to talk about it. So that's that. So yeah, that's the wrestle ball. I just wanted to do a little shout out just in case anybody was listening and wanted to hear about that. So right before we go, I want to do a quick little segment. We said we'd get to it. We got about 2 minutes to do this, so we're going to keep it brief, lads, or I'll cut your mics. I don't care. So here's the deal. UFC 315, Bilal Muhammad versus Della Madalena. I'm pretty sure is how you pronounce his name. Who's taking it? Ethan, go first.
I'm just going to say right off the bat, this is probably going to be one of the most forgettable main cards of all time. Mr. Bilal, remember whatever his name is. You know, I mean, it's actually ironic his name is Remember the Name when nobody actually even remembers who he is. I mean, there's that clip where they're like, I want the champion in the cage. And the security forgot that he was the champion. So they didn't let him in the cage at one point, which is hilarious because he's a boring fighter. So honestly, I don't care and have no idea because we knew who I want. Shavkat
Rachmanov.
He's going to take the, I don't care who wins because they're going to get mauled by Shavkat when he gets his title shot. So it doesn't even
Give
matter.
Give me an analogy for what Shavkat's going to do to them.
He's going to pound them.
He's going to pound them. Owen, who's winning that fight? Della Madalena or Bilal Muhammad?
Personally, I don't know any of the fighters, but I know it's good. So I know it's gonna
remember
be
the name. Bro. You gotta remember the name.
I know it's gonna be a cuddle session on the ground. They're gonna be spooning each other.
Who do you think's gonna be on top of the cuddle sesh?
Who's the better wrestler, Bilal?
Yeah.
Where's the other guy from?
I don't know.
Is he like Dagestan? Is he Dagestani?
No, he's like New Zealand or Australia or something.
What?
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. Okay. I don't care. I really don't. Not about this guy. Oh, my God. So that's that. Thank you for coming on the show, Ethan Rooney, Owen Rooney, nationally ranked wrestlers. We'll stay tuned for updates on the Canada Games that they may or may not be competing at in Newfoundland over the summer in August. Thank you for all who tuned in. Please go follow at Candid Combat on Instagram. We're trying to get to 1 million followers. We're at about 96, so we're on our way. So let's get us there. Follow us, Candid Combat. Combat spelled C-O-N-B-A-T, because my name is Connor Rooney. I'm the host, and it's a funny joke. Everyone says so. So Candid Combat on Instagram. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And that's all she wrote. Have a nice day.